First off, what I'm going to share today, I've had it on my heart for a long, long time, but I've kept pushing it to one side and pushing it to one side. But really, it's got to the point where if I don't share it, there'll be nothing left for me to say, because both Zena and Grace have read one of the scriptures I'm going to read today, and as well as touched on points, and Andrew's spoken some of it out when he's been praying on stage. And even today, well, beginning of week, Ken said to me, "Hey up, kid," he says, "I think word for today's speaking a bit about what you were going to share." I says, "Oh well, I mean, I do read word for today, but I can either be 2 months behind or 2 months in front," which I know is not really the way to read it, and Ken does despair, but that's the way I do it. So what I want to share on today, the title is Deeds That Acknowledge God. Well, first of all, I'll just read from dictionary the meaning of the word deeds. Deeds in the dictionary is an action that is performed intentionally or consciously. And in Strong's it says, something done, an act, labour or work. And now before I even start, I just want to say that this is not about works. This is not about a works programme. In fact, I think it would be good if you all repeat after me. This is not about works. This is not about works. That's better, right? Right, now we'll just look at acknowledge in the dictionary. It says, to own as true, to take notice of, to confess, to greet with words or gestures. Now, last week, Grace was speaking about being true to ourselves and not being influenced by other people's opinions. You know, she was saying that we need to be our true selves in whatever we do and wherever we are. Well, I want to share this week is about being true with God, true with ourselves, and being real. And the only place that we can be real is with God, you know. And we are real when we're in Christ. And we do become real in God. So I want to read first. The first reading is from Matthew 22, verse 34 to 40. We're all there. Everybody there. This is Jesus speaking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourselves. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Amen. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. I mean, here we have the very basics of our Christian faith. And this is a question I ask myself. Do I love God with all my heart? And then I think, well, do I really love him? Because I with all my heart, because I accumulate so much rubbish there. Yeah. You know, and I ask you the same question, do you accumulate rubbish?
Yeah.
It's not just me that accumulates rubbish. And I remember Derek Prince saying, guard your heart carefully, for out of it flow the issues of life. Amen. And I think that is very true. Because if someone or something really touches our heart, it does affect us for good or for bad. And in some cases, it can touch us so much that it affects our lives. And I've known where people have been took over by that, whether it's been a hurt or whatever. And I mean, God is so wise, and he doesn't tell us things for the sake of it. If we really filled our hearts with love for him, I'm really sure it would make our Christian life easier. You know, if we kept that first commandment, our Christian walk would be a lot easier for us all. Yeah. And our Heavenly Father, he knows us so well, you know. He knows everything about us, and he knows how to help us better than anyone. And, you know, he knows exactly what's in our hearts. We can hide it from ourselves in some degree, and we can also hide it from other people, but we can't hide it from God. And David knew that same truth. God said of David that he was a man after his own heart. And head knowledge is not enough. The heart must be touched by God's redeeming love. Amen. I'm going to read Psalm 51. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion. Blot out transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only, have I sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin from my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare thy praise. For thou dost not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Amen. When David had sinned, he was truthful with God. He knew this was the time to be truthful, and he really needed to be. It's pointless not to be. This is the time to work it out with God. And I'm learning to do the same. When we get upset, we've got to be real with God and real with ourselves. For if we're not real, we're false. You know. I mean, each one of us is accountable to God. And after all, he's the only one who can change us. And God knows us. He knows we need time to heal. He knows we need time to get things right in our hearts. But, you know, that's not a problem to God. He's got plenty of time. But we do need to have that desire in our heart to obey him. You know, we really do need to follow his commandments. Right, Isaiah 57, verse 15 to 16. For thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. I mean, I think that's wonderful, and I'm glad that it's God that revives us. You know, amen. Thank you, Lord, that you're the one who revives us. And Psalm 71, verse 15 to 17 says, my mouth shall tell of thy righteousness and of thy salvation all day long, for I do know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, thine alone, O God, for thou hast taught me from my youth, and I still declare thy wondrous deeds. I mean, you know, David speaks of God's wondrous deeds. He speaks of God's love. And that, when you read these psalms, that really does come through. But it's because David spoke from his heart. David's heart was full of love for God. Amen. I'm going to read John 3, verse 17 to 21. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. That really, you know, I think that's wonderful. Deeds manifested, deeds wrought in God. And it's only by coming to Jesus, you know, opening our hearts and our innermost beings and being willing to submit and obey him, that we can be led by the Holy Spirit. And it's only then that we can manifest the deeds of God in our lives. And in the message to the churches in Revelation, Jesus says to each one, I know your deeds. And he also speaks about those who overcome. And that was Grace. You were your prophecy, wasn't it? And this overcoming is in part overcoming our human nature. Amen. You know, and more that we obey God's commandments, more and more our human nature becomes like him. 2 John verse 6. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. And John 15 verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And this abide, this living, it's the same thing, you know, and Jesus says, I am the vine. Without, you know, abide in me, without me you can do nothing. And I was thinking about the Sermon on the Mount. And if you read that more than anything, it's about the attitudes in our hearts. You know, this secret innermost being. And this is the place where God wants us to acknowledge him in spirit and in truth. And this is the place, where I've said before, where God's deeds are wrought, where God's deeds are worked. And if we read those verses, it's very plain there that Jesus didn't like the Pharisees' hypocritical ways. You know, he loved them, but he didn't like their hypocritical ways. And he doesn't like us either to be hypocrites. I'm sure of that. Because Jesus desires truth in word and deed. And Jesus said he came to fulfill the law, which he did. He did as the Son of Man and as the Son of God. And he was an overcomer in the truest sense. And he overcame sin and death for all who would come to him. And the sons of God are the ones who are led by the Holy Spirit and do what and know that we need to be fully submitted to him in all our ways. And Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. And we live that life, as I've already said, by submitting to God. So that Jesus is actually living his life in us and through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. We should not only have faith in Jesus, but should live by that very faith that Christ placed in us by his Holy Spirit. And let's remember that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And let's also have faith in God's work in us. You know, God can do it. And Galatians 3 verse 26 says, for you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Amen. And God said he would write his commandments on our hearts. And we know, we hear many times that God gives us the desires of our hearts. So if we desire to love and obey him, God will accomplish that work within us. 2 Peter 3 verse 18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So, you know, I pray that we all acknowledge him from true hearts and true deeds. And I mentioned earlier the messages to the churches in Revelation, and I would like to read them all because the promises to the overcomers are absolutely wonderful. But I'm only going to read one. I'm going to read the message to Ephesus. Right, so we've got Revelation 2 verse 1 to 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this: I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent. It says, do the deeds you did at first. And I thought, you know, what are these deeds? Do the deeds you did at first. And I believe the key to that is in verse 4, which says, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. These deeds that they did at first were deeds of love. Love for God. You know, God is love. And he wants us to be motivated from a heart full of love for him. Because deeds of love are the deeds that acknowledge God. Yeah. Amen. Now, I spoke earlier about, you know, being honest with God and honest with ourselves. So I'm going to have to be honest. But if I could look back, I mean, when I was very young, I went to Sunday school. And I can remember when we were really young, we all used to pile in an old van. And we used to go to old Montini Junior School for Sunshine Corner. And we all used to sing, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. And then they used to cart us all back and wave us bye-bye. But if I go back, you know, when I was born again, shall we say. I know it seems a bit corny, but it's true all the same. Everything changed. Sky were bluer, sun were brighter, and I just floated about. You know, I just, wherever I went, I floated. It was the most wonderful feeling. And I have to be honest and say that I don't do much floating now. But, you know, and in fact, sometimes I feel as if I'm just going through motions. But that is not what God wants. You know, that is not what God wants. God wants us to be full of life, full of this love that creates life. And, you know, and to do things because we love him, not for no other reason, but just because we love God. Mm. And I know when I were in that state, I would not say anything, I would not do anything that I thought wasn't bang on with God's commandment. But I have to admit now, I do say things that, you know, I would never have said then. But, you know, God knows us. But that really spoke to me, you know, you have left your first love. And I really, because it was such a wonderful time, you know, I want to live in that again. I want to float about everywhere. I want to just live and move in his love. So, you know, I think one or two of us are a wee bit weary today, including me. But God just wants us to revive us. And we sang that song, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. So, you know, I think, you know, just for a minute, we could just bow our heads, but don't do it unless you want to do it, because unless you want to do it, it's no good, and God knows what's in your heart. So just don't speak or anything, but I really think it would be nice if we could just bow our heads and bow our hearts to God. Amen. Oh Lord, we just come before you, Lord. You are our wonderful God of love. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray, revive us, strengthen us, Lord. Oh, Lord, we just pray that once more our hearts will be on fire for you. Oh, Heavenly Father, just let us live in that wonderful love that just wants to please you. Oh, Lord, we just thank you that you have done all things for us in Christ Jesus. And we love you, Lord. Amen. In my prophecy, going back a long time at Bawtry, part of it was that God would give me a song in the night, and which he has. I've had it, that as well, for ages and ages. I don't dare say how long I've had this song. But, I don't think I can sing it. I think I've had enough sharing this. But I think if I just say the words, I would love to sing it, but I just don't think I can. So, just bow your heads and I'll just say the words of this. On the wings of the dawn, the Lord is calling. The Lord is calling. Hear his heart. Hear his heart calling to his own. The morning star arises. It arises in my heart. The morning star arises. It arises in my heart. On the wings of the dawn, the Lord is calling. To seek his face. Seek his face. The Lord is calling to his own. The morning star arises. He arises in my heart. The morning star arises. He arises in my heart. On the wings of the dawn, Lord, I am calling. Oh, Lord, I am calling. I will seek your face. I will seek your face. The morning star arises. He arises in my heart. Amen. Amen.
Is observer. And he is somebody that is always watching to criticize. And then went on to say that when there are times when you get eye to eyeball with people, what do you do? Do you react? Or do you go away and say, forgive? And I can remember on Friday, I did go away at one bit, and I went to this shop, and I can remember walking out of the car and just saying, Father, I forgive them. They know not what they're doing. But evidently, it was up here, not in here. So after I'd read this, I thought, enemy, you're not taking away what God's been doing in my life and in the life of my family. So I repented and I just put these people before him. And I went to bed, I went to sleep. Had a very peaceful sleep. But it is, God is just teaching us. He's bringing us back, and he really is speaking out there, and that today has been an affirmation, yeah, that we're listening to the voice of God. Amen. It really is, and that's wonderful.
Morning, in my quiet time, I was reading about David's forgiveness to Saul and to Jonathan. Not that he had anything to forgive Jonathan for. Jonathan was his covenant brother. But I was so blessed and so impressed, because we were talking last week or the week before last about the forgiveness of these people who were persecuted in the concentration camps, and how they found prayers of these people who said, God, don't hold it to their charge, forgive them, and when it's all over, don't let them have any hurtful memories of what they did, and let them forgive themselves. And the level of forgiveness, I just couldn't grasp it. I don't know if I could reach that level right now, but I pray God that he'll bring me to that place where I can, because that is so much the life of an overcomer, as God is challenging us to become. And today I was reading this, and an Amalekite came and told David that Saul had fallen, and so had Jonathan. And if you just go back and think about how much Saul, and I've been reading these past few days, how much Saul dogged Jonathan. And it wasn't just words, he was out to kill him. And many, many times he was determined to take David's life. Saul was a very jealous man. And it was jealousy that motivated him all the time. It ruled him. And you know, we cannot allow jealousy to have a part, a grasp in our life, because it will destroy us. I believe that's what destroyed Saul. He was so jealous of David. And he knew that the kingdom belonged to David, and he was about to lose it. And every time, David also had two opportunities to destroy Saul, to kill him and to have done with his enemy, but he refused to do that. He said, he is God's anointed, and I will not lay my hand on God's anointed. God put him to that place, and God will remove him from that place. And David had the right attitude. He had an attitude of total forgiveness. And when he heard of Saul's death, and another thing that greatly amazes me is Saul's demise meant the promotion of David. It meant that David could eventually, after being hunted like an animal, have the status of a king. Now that was some promotion. And you know, Saul would not have acted the way that David did, but David was so loving and so forgiving. He had such a heart for God that he was a man after God's own heart. And you see some fine, fine qualities in David, which are all God's heart. And they're the qualities that God wants us to have. And this is what David said when he heard of Saul and Jonathan's death. David intoned this lamentation over Saul and Jonathan. He said, "Your glory, O Israel, lies slain upon the high places. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. The daughters of the uncircumcised will exult." God does not want us to gloat over the demise of our enemies, because that gives the devil an opportunity against us. He does not want it told in the camps of the wicked. He does not want them to have an opportunity against us. "The mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, no bounteous fields, for there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul, anointed with oil no more. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, nor the sword of Saul return empty." Saul and Jonathan, beloved. He could say this of his enemy. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely. He loved Saul in his ugliness. How much God loves us in our ugliness. "In life and in death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with crimson in luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan lies slain upon your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war perished." Praise God. He truly was a mighty man in every way.